you carve out more equity for yourself as you learn to operate and manage and do those things, but you'll never get equity in, because you just, like, I would never trust you to asset manage our deal right now. You have no experience. So you're not going to get that anyways. Quit trying to learn that right now. Get into a deal, learn it as you go. And that's exactly what we did.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Alice Hammond is the founder of Kingdom REI. He started his career as a missionary on the college campus of San Diego, and today he is the co-principal of Symphony Capital Group, an investment firm currently focused on acquiring multifamily value-add real estate. Alice, welcome to the show.
I'm pumped to be here. Sam, hey, let's get this thing going, baby.
Let's do it. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes to the show in 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
College pastor, no network. Actually, I take that back. I had a network. They were just all 18 and 19 year olds. No money. A lot of fun, though. And I was a college pastor, man. I wanted to live my life for a big purpose and still do. And that's why I went into missionary pastoral ministry work. We ran out of money. You know, like, it's not a marginal business. You know, we had big dreams and help people. And one of the young men on my team said, Ellis, I don't have money this month to buy groceries. And honestly, man, that was like a life-changing, radical time for me, because it was life-changing because I couldn't help the guy. And all I ever really wanted to do was impact people.
Right.
And that's where we made a decision, man. We're going to get wealthy. And if anything you can get from this podcast today is, if you haven't made that decision, you should, because there's nothing wrong with it. And because there's a lot of people out there trying to do good things for the world. And guess what? They need freaking money to be able to do it. And someone's got to go make that money. And so that's what we decided to do, man. We're going to figure that out. And real estate's become that vehicle, and purchased more than $100 million last year, and on our way to another couple hundred more, and excited to grow.
Man, that's really cool. I think that money discussion is an interesting one, right? There's the commonly misquoted verse that, like, money is the root of all evil. Actually not. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. There's obviously, I got a friend of mine. I'm going to go off script.
I love it. That's what I always do to people, by the way. We never talk about real estate. So let's just go off.
Let's just talk. So I got a buddy of mine. He said, hey, you know, if you want to know something about somebody, he says, there's only three things you need to know. How do they treat food? How do they treat sex? And how do they treat money? He's like, you figure out those three things and you've gotten down to the core of who someone is. And I was like, it took me a while to kind of absorb that. I'm like, well, that's really interesting. It's because money is one of those topics that, like, it brings out all sorts of different emotions for different people in different capacities. And so I think it's interesting, you know, you as a college pastor sitting here going, all right, you know what? I wish I could help you, bud, but I can't. I can't help you buy groceries. And that light bulb went off where it's like, and I got a phrase that I've written down. It says, I can do more good in the world as a rich person than a poor one. Like, and once you adopt that framework, I think, for your relationship with money, like, hey, Ellis, you can do more good in the world as a rich guy than you can as a broke one. Like, it's just an economic reality. So I think that's a cool kind of shift, maybe even especially for people who are in ministry. Getting rich isn't exactly the thing that's talked about very often.
100%. And it's not necessarily about getting rich. I mean, we could name this whatever, but, like, my point is, like, right, everyone wants options, man, and people need margin. And the goal of a business is for it to be profitable. Why? Because with profit, there's margin. And without margin, there is no mission. You can't do good things. Like, if you and your company or your family or your budget is so tight,
right,
that's not serving anyone. It's not serving you. It's not serving your marriage. It's not serving the thousands of people you're probably called to serve and help. And so, like, we got to get comfortable, man, with this goal of, like, let's be insanely profitable, not at the sake of others. You don't have to do that.
Right,
my point is, like, if you're not trying, if you're in business and the goal is not profit, I'm like, what are you doing? Because we need to go back to the starting point, right? Because what I've learned, man, over my journey is those who are insanely profitable are also the ones who are bringing insane value to the world. So actually, if we just shifted the conversation to say, how much value should I create, not how much money should I create? Well, the answer is, well, that's an easy question, Ellis. It's infinite. Okay. Well, if you exchange the word value for profit, why does it change? You know what I'm saying? Like, because if value is tied to profit, or profit is tied to value, then that's what we should be doing. And we get paid to solve problems as entrepreneurs. Anyways, man, that's my story. And we will be and are working on becoming an insanely profitable company because we want to do really cool things in the world.
I love it, man. That's really cool. What was the transition there for you? I mean, it's one thing to be like, snap, I got to get out and figure out a way to be insanely profitable.
Yeah.
Where do I start?
I mean, I didn't know. And honestly, in some ways, like, you know, you learn as you go. I just knew we had to take action. It's interesting, man. Maybe some people are listening to the show today, and the only thing you know right now is like, I need to change and I need something to change. And I was open to that. And that's exactly where I was. And I remember this is crazy to even share, but I was driving in the car. It was like a month before I was getting married. And I heard a radio ad that said, hey, if you want to learn how to get rich through real estate, come to this workshop. Like, who's ever listened or responded to a radio ad like in their life?
Not you know? Me.
But honestly, it's because I was open, man. Think about how many times I maybe have heard that, or how many times have you listened to the radio? Back then, I drove such a poor car that I think it was because my CD player didn't work. I had to listen to the radio, right? So that was part of why I was listening to the radio. That's true. Like, I had one of those cassette tapes where you plug into your iPhone. Like, I didn't even have an auxiliary cord. I had to use one of those cassette tapes that then plugged into my audio phone, which was probably broken. And so I was listening to the radio. Anyways, that's how I heard about it. And I went to the seminar, and I think it was one of those Fortune Builders or something, right? And they were about fixing flipping. I didn't end up doing that. But what I learned in that moment was like, there's a lot of guys here that are middle class, lower middle class, poorly educated, making bank in real estate. And I was like, if these guys can do it, I gotta be able to figure this out. And so I just left there, man, inspired of like, real estate is the starting point, not the end game. And our first deal was 4 months later, we bought a duplex. And, you know, the only way I found that deal is because I went and found a mentor and a guy here in San Diego buying deals. I was like, hey, man, I'll do whatever. I just need to get into something. And he was the guy who helped us find the deal, put it under contract, everything, man. Gave me the courage to buy it. We had to come up with the money, of course, and do all the hard work. But that was it. That was our entry in. It's not how I would recommend most people doing it, but that's how we did it.
When did you transition to commercial real estate?
As fast as I could, because that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're listening to this, do not take my advice and go buy a duplex. It's just so much better ways to get into larger, more profitable deals if you want a life along your business. So it took us about 9 months where we learned about syndication, that we could actually raise capital and go do larger deals. And so surprisingly, it took us 9 months after that. So within about a year, we had went from no real estate education, no background, no network to we owned about $10 million of real estate real quick. Now, as you know, that's vanity in terms of metric wise, because I didn't own all of that. I had investors, I had partners, but we were now part of $10 million of real estate from nothing, you know? And we got into that just so your audience knows. And this is why I always recommend is the easiest way to get into multifamily or to get into commercial real estate, man, is either raise the money, have the money, or find the deals. So forget trying to do all of this stuff. You know, it takes a lifetime to learn it, but you can break in the year like I did if you can focus on one of those two activities, either finding great opportunities that you know someone's ready to fund or have the funding and be able to provide that to someone who can find deals like yourself, Sam, or like me, right? We have deals. We're always looking for great partners who can bring in capital to help us fund these deals. It's how this business moves forward. So that's how we got going.
That is awesome. Yeah, man. There's business is, like you said, it takes a lifetime to learn all the nuances to it, but it boils down to those two things, deals.
I mean, honestly, right? I mean, those are the most profitable ways. Like, you carve out more equity for yourself as you learn to operate and manage and do those things, but you'll never get equity in because you just, like, I would never trust you to asset manage our deal right now. You have no experience. So you're not going to get that anyways. Quit trying to learn that right now. Get into a deal, learn it as you go. And that's exactly what we did. You know, we've done 6 deals and now we're really like we've learned, we've built the team, understand the operations where now we can begin to take over all of the deal, right? And now folks are like, oh, you guys know what you're talking about. You know the systems, you have things in place. We're ready to write you a $10 million check instead of the other way around. It's like, you know what I mean? Like we had to build that, man. We had to build that reputation, had to build that in this industry. And so, you know, it's taken a couple of years to be able to get to that place, but you know, I think most people are waiting until they have that. And I'm like, that's the wrong way, man. You got to get going now. You'll never have that reputation.
Right. Absolutely. Tell me, you got into college ministry because you saw a need and said, I want to serve that need. How has that shifted for you, if it has shifted? And how have you kind of had to reprioritize the things that you are doing? I guess I'm going to call it on your, call it the philanthropic side.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's a great question, man. So I'm wearing this shirt today, if you can see, called Kingdom REI. I knew when I got in this business, well, God has always called me to. He called me to this on the college campus. He's called me to this, like, throughout, you know, every season of my life is build communities. Like, people need communities. And so I love this industry for so many reasons. We've built a community for faith-based leaders in this space to do those two things, find deals and find capital and partner with other people. So, you know, we've built a community around this whole business, man. I mean, Kingdom REI is that. It is a ministry, and yes, it's really cool. I mean, a lot of our deals, a lot of our capital flow in and out of this incredible community that we've built called Kingdom REI. So in some ways, you know, that's a big element of your question, right? Is I get to teach, I get to share, I get to incorporate my faith into that. We run a podcast show, dude, where we've had like 150 people now, 150 operators, all faith-minded, and I get to share my faith. Like, they get to share why they love this asset, this industry, and how they're using their faith to impact others. So when I think about, I mean, that's been downloaded 80,000 times, you know, like how many people like that's impacted. So like, it's my mission, man. That's why I get on here. I'm really bold of like, quit worrying about being profitable. Like, people are going to hate you for it, but guess what? We need some people who are thinking about this, because this is how the kingdom's going to go forward. So in that regard, that from an asset or operator level, you know this, man, walking deals. Speaking of community, you know, when we buy an asset, and this is where I think this business becomes very spiritual, you're owning someone's home, right? This is where they raise their kids. It's where they do dinner. It's like, I live in an apartment. We rent. We sold our place in San Diego, and now we rent. I know how important it is to walk outside and trash is not laying everywhere. I know how important it is when I leave this house that my wife and my little girl are protected, because there's not a bunch of homeless, crazy people living on my sidewalk.
Right.
So when I walk an asset, it's always amazing to me to see how many things people overlook, how many things the owners and property managers overlook when I'm like, this is people's home, man. Everyone deserves better than this. So, you know, I think one, just from the way we operate deals is different. I don't think that necessarily has to be from a faith perspective. My faith definitely impacts that. I think in some ways, if you were a good human being, you know, like that would also come arise. But that also could be, I believe we are made in the image of God. So that has a lot to do with it. And then we're building some CARES programs, right? Like, we want to be good operators, not just acquisition folks. And so the way that we're thinking about, you know, we brought on a manager now that has experience kind of with social programs, Bible studies, after school care programs, things like that, that we can begin to incorporate into our communities that just increase resident experience, which would, by the way, this is not just because we're good Christian folks, is we also know that increases retention, which saves expenses, which increases profit, you know, so like, we're adding value, which increases profits back to our communities, which then flows back to our investors. So, you know, all of this is very strategic, but, you know, it's all incorporated.
Yeah. And I like that. I mean, that's that common. Well, that's a rabbit hole. I probably don't want to go down, but I'll reiterate what you said, which is, yeah, that you provide value to the people that are living there. It then increases the bottom line for you guys. A true win-win, where it's like, I'm going to do the best I can for you. And turn, oh, look, you want to stay at my properties.
Yeah. Amazing. I'll give you a great example, man. We bought this in Kansas City last year. The woman owned it for 30 plus years. And the goal, I mean, here was the goal. We're going to go in there. We're going to renovate this place and increase rents. Like that up front, that's what we're doing. So I had a couple investors who were like, hey, I'm just not comfortable with that model because I know people are going to have to move out. I'm like, I understand that. But like, trust me when I say these people need a better place to live. And here's what happened. Some of those invested, some of those didn't. When we took the deal over, we had 8 people illegally living there who just left. So that all of a sudden we had 8 units vacant. We had the property manager who was selling furniture out of another unit. Okay. So now we have 9 units vacant. And then like 2 or 3 more, we realized, you know, people weren't living in anyways. There was vacancies that we didn't even know about. So all of a sudden we have like 15 units vacant. So we didn't kick anybody out. Okay. And then we started renovating these units and people were coming to us saying, hey, I am so thankful you guys are renovating this. Can I go ahead and get on that waiting list so that when that place is renovated, I can pay more to go live there? You know what I'm saying? So it's like this idea of like, you know, raising rents is the wrong thing. I'm like, dude, that's not it at all, man. People need a better place to live and are willing to pay money for that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So you had 15 vacant units out of how many?
85 units.
Okay.
We were 100% occupied when we took the deal over.
Sure you were.
And all of a sudden we were, you know, 75% or whatever, 80%, but it worked out well. And, you know, that's all in our underwriting. I mean, when we're going and stuff, we're underwriting 45% economic occupancy year 1 anyways. So, you know, our plan is we're renovating units and we know we're going to take a hit for that.
right? Now, talk to me about that. I mean, underwriting 45% economic occupancy. How are you making offers that sellers are even interested in when you're underwriting it like that?
Well, one thing, we're not necessarily paying out cash flow to our investors year one either. So like, it's not as if we need to be cash flow positive. Our investors know we're going to get you the best return on your money in the shortest amount of time possible. If you want 6% cash flow month one, that's, we're just probably not the group for you, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not your dividend retirement plan. Like, you want to make money and make the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time, we're your group. So, I mean, that gives us, like, we've just owned that identity, right? And that's kind of who we are. But I mean, we need to be able to go in and increase yield or increase revenue by 30% in the first 24 months. And, you know, that's going to come from renovation, like some renovation or a lot of renovation. And some of that's going to come from leasing. But that's essentially our goal when we're underwriting deals.
Or what class of assets are you guys focusing on?
You know, I mean, we bought A deals, you know, if there's ways to increase revenue. But I mean, our ideal play is probably 80s, 90s build, maybe 2000s. A lot of the exterior is either okay or recently renovated. And the big play is interiors. You know, that's an ideal play for us. I like that play a lot. You know, when I'm walking deals, if I got to spend a lot of time and money that first year on exterior, I'm not super interested in that right now. I just really want to get working on units and being able to get people in and out. That's important to us.
Yeah, I think that's really, really cool. Tell me this. You know, one of the things that we're seeing right now is a big push in the real estate space as it pertains to crypto. Can you give me kind of a 60-second soundbite on what it is that you guys are doing to involve yourselves in that space and how you think this is all going to play out?
We have no idea, but we do think that blockchain is here to stay, dude. The money system is terrible. I have a wire right now that I'm trying to send to fund one of our deals. I don't even know where it is. Like, a little, my bank doesn't know where it is. Wires suck, okay? The whole money movement thing is so terrible. It is prime. And that's a true story. There's a lot of money in the air right now. It's a terrible, flawed system, dude. Blockchain technology changes all of that, right? I mean, it's instant. It's on a ledger. That's here to stay. It's decentralized. Our government's corrupt. The dollar is not here to stay. Mm-mm. You know, and so people are going to rally. The world is going to rally around a free system, a decentralized system. And I think if that's going to change the way we do things, man, including real estate. And it's a really interesting time to be alive, you know, the way we can fractionalize shares. And so what we're currently doing, to answer your question, there's language in our PPM that allows us to fractionalize shares and put those on a blockchain for a future sale, which is a benefit to our investors from a liquidity standpoint. I think if this does take off and this begins to catch momentum and this actually does work in a very easy way, think about how much capital from around the world can now flow into United States real estate. And forget where the dollar is. The dollar could go away, but the reality is United States real estate is still very good to own. And so if you fractionalize that and allow capital around the world to be able to own that, you know, think about Ukraine right now. You know, like, man, if you're a Ukrainian, but you still have capital, what do you do? You're not going to go invest in Ukraine. Man, I want to go park my money in United States real estate right now. That'd probably be a good place to put it.
Right.
And so what will that do to asset prices? Well, if you have a massive surge of money coming any asset class, that typically means values increase. And so I mean, we're big believers, man, and we want to understand blockchain and crypto. We're going to prepare for it. But the most important thing is we're going to own real estate and then figure out how those come together.
I love it, man. Alice, thanks for coming on the show today and breaking down kind of everything from how you got involved in real estate, your views on money being a tool that you use to really bring massive value to other people. I think that's super cool. We talked about your Kingdom REI, I think mastermind there, and what Symphony Capital Group is doing, and also just a little bit about how you guys are positioning yourselves to use crypto and the blockchain technology in your assets in the future. So certainly appreciate that. Appreciate all that you do. And just want to say thanks for coming on the show. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yes, thekingdomrei.com. If you are trying to break into this space and need community mentor, thekingdomrei.com or symphonycapitalgroup.com, symphonycapitalgroup.com. You can get in contact with us there. We're buying deals. We're always looking for partners, man. We're always looking for folks to, we're multifamily guys and we got big goals and always looking for people to connect and collaborate with. So reach out to us.
Awesome. Ellis, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.